podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Joey Bonifacio.
Now, as you know, we've taken a step back from our usual series on Genesis, and we've taken a short series called Time Out. And the whole idea behind this series is the idea of worship. Last week, we talked about worship being two words, the words worth and the word ship. The word worth simply means that which is of high value, high quality, high significance. And the word ship is a state or office of being. In other words, when we worship, we're saying to this person or this being that you are worthy of all the office and the statementhood and the stateship of worth. That's what we're saying. And we said that it's important, and last week we talked about what was known as the worth of worship. We had three very general points and sub-points within those points. And the first one was we were made to worship. We were made to value something or someone. And because we were made to worship, regardless of who we are, we will end up worshiping something or someone. Which is why a conversation and a discussion about worship is so important, because the Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, as high as the heavens is from the earth, so his thoughts and our thoughts are so different. And what we tend to worship and what God wants us to worship are just not the same, which is why a lengthy conversation about it is necessary. Further, it says, not only were we made to worship, we end up becoming who we worship. If we worship somebody, that person or that thing or that being becomes like who we are. We talked about the rat race and how if we end up worshiping and valuing the rat race, we end up looking like rats. And finally, we said, pleasure and fulfillment come from worship, whether that's we worship things and fun and whatever else that we worship, it will give us a measure of pleasure and fulfillment. But it cannot give us complete pleasure and fulfillment, because only God, who is eternal, can do that for us. Today, as we continue, we want to talk about not just the worth of worship, but we want to talk about the why of worship, or the reason behind worship, or the heart of worship. Because at the end of the day, you can end up doing the right thing with for the wrong reasons. You can end up doing the right thing, but your heart is not in it. A good example of that would be something like Valentine's Day. You're celebrating Valentine's Day, and you're married, you have a spouse, or you have a boyfriend or a girlfriend, and you're about to go out on this date, and you're executing the date, but you're doing it for the wrong reasons. Some will do Valentine's because everyone else is doing it. And we could be doing that. We could be going to church, worshiping God, not because our heart's in it or we know why we should do it, but because my husband's here, my wife's here, my friends are here, my father told me to do this, my parents are here, so I should do this myself. Right reason, right things, but wrong heart. Or it could be that you said it's my duty to do it. There are spouses or there are boyfriends who feel like the reason why I had to take you on a date is primarily because it's my duty, because you are my girlfriend after all. There are those who do it because I want something from her. I'm doing this because I want something from you. And these could be the very same reasons why we worship God. It's something everyone else is doing. It's my duty, and there's something I want from her. Finally, probably the worst reason is to become a tradition and a practice. So I'm going to take you out on Valentine's Day, February the 14th, but I'm going to be looking at my phone while you look at yours. In other words, the heart's not there, but the execution of the practice is there. The scripture tells us in Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13, the Lord says, these people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. The worship of me is based merely on human rules and human practices. They come near to me with their mouths, and we can be guilty of this. There's nothing wrong with coming to church on a Sunday. We're going to see that in a bit. And more of that next week. Why do we do this? Why do we even sing? Why do we even come together on a Sunday? It's important to understand. But for today, we want to capture the heart of it. Not just the lips, but our hearts need not be far from God, but near to Him. The question, therefore, this morning is, how do I know I'm worshiping from the heart? A good way to know that is when you worship God not only on Sundays, but you worship God anytime. Then you know your heart's in it. If the only time you give your love or express your devotion to your spouse or to your husband is on Valentine's Day, there's something wrong because that means they're not really as valuable as we claim them to be. Tuesday nights, my wife is in a class at the NAFA, and so she comes out late at class, and I end up picking her up at the bus station near our home. And this Tuesday, I went over there to pick her up, and she came out of class late. It was 10 in the evening, and I was there for a good 20 minutes because she's usually there slightly earlier, but for this evening, she was slightly late. And a row of buses started to come. I took this picture, and I was praying for people and thinking about, is it really possible to worship and value God anytime and anywhere, given the circumstances of being so busy, and I'm watching people just making their way home, and it's almost 10 in the evening? And the answer is yes. A good example of this, as I was thinking of how to best illustrate this, is a movie that came out in 1981. I don't know if you've watched this movie, but I've watched this movie nearly, I'm not even exaggerating, probably 40 times. I've actually watched this movie twice already this year. Chariots of Fire was released in 1981 over an extremely low-budget movie, a British film with virtually unknown stars. Nobody knew the actors. Nobody knew about the movie. What was interesting was that year, this movie ran away with the Oscars. Best movie of the year, best screenplay, best script, best everything, including best soundtrack. It was unbelievable. And the world was taken by storm. And today, this movie is characterized as one of the top 100 films by the British Film Institute, ranked number 19 as the best ever. The reason why this film was so captivating was it was a true story of a runner, an athlete. His name was Eric Little. And Eric was the son of a missionary. He was born in China. And he became a champion runner. He beat the British record on the 100-meter dash. And he would run. And then he was a candidate to run to the 1924 Paris Olympics, which at that time would be the greatest event in the next 4 years. And that was the following year he was going to run this race. In order to do that, he needed to train. And because of that, he was failing in the ministry or the church, the activities of the church. In a gripping moment in the movie, his sister was worried about him. And he was saying, you're no longer coming to church. You're late. You're not doing this. And you're doing all of these things. And you're busy. And you're no longer worshiping God. I want to show you a short clip, which is I probably rewind over and over in this gripping moment when he's walking with his sister and he's trying to explain to him this idea of worship, and that worship is not just on Sunday, but actually anytime, anywhere, for anything. I'll be back in a bit.
I've decided. I'm going back to China. The missionary service have accepted.
Oh, Eddie. Oh, I'm so pleased.
But I've got a lot of running to do first. Jenny, you've got to understand. I believe that God made me for a purpose. For China. But he also made me fast. And when I run, I feel his pleasure. To give it up would be to hold him in contempt. You were right. It's not just fun. To win is to honor him. Jenny. I've got my degree to get. All that work. And then there's Paris. The Olympic Games. It's just not enough for me. I'm asking you to manage the mission on your own. Till then. Will you do that for me, Jenny?
when you have a chance to watch this movie, you're going to see many times that we think that church is this. And I want to make a simple point to you this morning. This is bare minimum here. Church is here so that you can, at the very least, know how it feels to worship God. Because the fact of the matter is, if you can't even do it here with everybody else, you're going to have a hard time doing this outside of this place on a fairly regular basis. Sunday services are important, but more than anything else, worship is of the heart. Eric Little's story, if you have a chance, it would be good for you to read his biography. I love the conversation. I believe God made me for a purpose. And some of you, you're not going to be in full-time ministry. You're not going to be a pastor like me, but God made you for a purpose. And whatever that purpose may be, that is the place where you worship him. He said, he also made me fast. It's funny, when I watch this movie, every time my son David's here today, he's joining us for the first time, and I don't know how many times I've watched this movie with David. I think I've watched this movie dozens of times just to remind me what worship is. The heart of worship is not just on a Sunday morning. It's anytime, anywhere. He said, when I run, I feel his pleasure. I pray that that will happen to you. That after the service, you will realize that when you're doing your accounting work, when you're doctoring, when you're in the ship where you're working, whatever it is you're doing, that you will find that God finds pleasure in you even as you desire to give him the best of what you are and who you are in what you're doing. That you don't have to sing songs to be able to worship God, but that your heart is for him and that your heart is always with him. I run when I feel I need to honor him. To win is to honor him. Second point I want to make is anywhere. The Bible says in John chapter 4:21, Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father." Talking about a word and a place, and Jesus saying the time will come, that's not going to happen anymore. It's not about the place, it's not about the time, it's about the heart. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is seeking such people to worship him. Not just the event. This is Eric Little as he broke the record. 1981, he broke the British record for the 100-meter dash. 1923, rather, 1924, he was set to run on the 100-meter dash. And then he saw the schedule and it said it was going to be on a Sunday. And because it was a Sunday, he refused to run. And the pressure of the Olympic Committee, the pressure of his own team, his coach, no less than the Prince of Wales, was trying to make him run. And he refused to run and declared that God is greater than the king himself. That day he was going to preach, actually. He's going to be like me. Can you imagine Eric Little preaching on a Sunday? Refused to run, and the media picked it up, and the newspapers all over the world said, British athlete Eric Little puts religion before country. The wrath of the entire nation, the anger of the entire nation went upon him as he refused to, because they knew that if he ran the 100 meters, he would be a shoe, and he'd leave everybody behind. He was a record holder, and they would win with a gold. And he refused to run. They gave him another race. They gave him the 400-meter run, which he's never ran before. And they said, he's not going to win. There's no way he's going to make it. And in one gripping moment in that movie, somebody handed him a little note. And I kind of almost choke every time I try to recount this moment. And the note said, "God honors him who honors me." And Eric Little, that run, ran and broke the 400-meter record. And the whole world celebrated, and Great Britain knew that his God lives. When we worship God for who he is, not just here, in our homes, in our marriages, with our children, in our work, in our businesses, in our studies, God does something. Because it's not just something we say. It's not just something we say is worth it, but something that is true worship from our hearts. I want to read the end of Eric's life. Lilith's first job was a missionary, was a teacher at the Anglo-Chinese College, not to be mistaken for the people who say the best is yet to be, amen? Let's not make a mistake here tonight, today rather, okay? While he's best known for his athletics, his true passion was found in missionary work. It was believed that by teaching children of the wealthy, they would become influential figures in China and promote Christian values. This was in the 1940s. A lot of people don't know about this man, but he was historically a very amazing missionary. Little used his athletic experience to train boys in a number of different sports. 1941, China had become so dangerous because of Japanese aggression that the British government advised British nationals to leave. Florence, who was pregnant with Marine and the children, left for Canada. This was his wife when Little accepted a position at the rural mission station which served the poor. Worship. Not just anytime, not just anywhere, but anything. Anything that would glorify God. And listen to me, and I pray you listen well to me. Sometimes as Christians, we've made this to be about us. And that's why we're never fulfilled. Sometimes we think it's about the blessing and the prosperity and the healing. And while that is true, the fact of the matter is God has created you for a purpose. And some of that purpose may not necessarily be what you want it to be. But that's what worship is. The heart of worship says, regardless of how inconvenient it may be for the time being, but because you are worthy of worship, and I'm willing to do it. He joined his brother Rob, who was a doctor there. The station was severely short of help, and the missionaries were exhausted. Constant stream of locals. In short, Eric Little passed away as a missionary in China. Probably one of the last pictures of the man, born in China in 1902, died in China in 1945, serving God. I guess the more important question is why? Okay, so the heart of worship is anytime and anywhere, but the question, Pastor, is why do I even have to do this? I think part of the answer is found in the book of Acts, chapter 17, verse 22. So Paul, standing in the midst of the Areopagus, said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious." And that's what this could be, just religion. I just do it because everybody does it. I just do it because it's a duty. I just do it because I don't want the gods to strike me. I'm just doing it because it's just a tradition. I'm really not doing it because of my heart. "For as I passed along and observed the objects of your worships," the Greeks were worshiping all kinds of idols, "I found also an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' What therefore you worship as unknown, I proclaim to you." And the Greeks were saying, "We don't know this one God." And so Paul said, "Let me introduce to you this God that you don't know of." And he begins to proclaim God, the God who made the world and everything in it. "Being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by men, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God, and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being." Why do you want to worship God? Why do you want to give him your whole heart? Because in him, everybody say in him, not in your business, not in your work, not in your career, not in your boyfriend, not in your spouse, and that's all not bad. Part of the problem of worship is because we think this thing's bad. No, 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 your job's fine. It's when you put undue merit and worth and value on that when it becomes bad. There's nothing wrong with your spouse, amen? Even though you think there's something wrong with him. It's when you put added merit and value that it doesn't deserve, that it turns it into something that is idolatrous because it wasn't meant to be worshipped. But in him, everybody say in him, in him, it says we live, we move. Everybody do this. You move, you have your being. The more you worship this God, the more you become like Him. The more you worship His God and you become like Him, the more you find pleasure and fulfillment in life. Amen? Let me close. What does a heart look like? It's anything, anytime, anywhere. And as I close, I want to remind you of a very simple story, a true story. A story about a young man who, apparently in Singapore, before you get to NS, you do all this physical training in school. Those of you men who went to NS know this. And you do your training in school and you work out. And out of that, they get your kind of your records, your blood tests and all the exercises. And what happens is they send all these records to the NS. And the NS now knows where they should put you. They should make you a commando, a Navy officer, or a Air Force, or police, or apparently this is how they do it. And what happens is this young man had a blood condition that was really perfect for underwater diving. And he had the physical strength and the fitness that he qualified for this program, this enormous program, 7-month program for what is known as kind of like the Navy SEALs version of, apparently, he was qualified to be like the equivalent of a Navy SEAL. Now, unbeknownst to the people at the NS, his greatest fear was drowning. Amen? How many of you know that's a problem? If you're going to be a frogman and your greatest fear is drowning, that's a big problem. And not only was that his fear was actually factual because at the age of 13, he almost drowned. But at that point, he decided to go for it. His name is Mitchell Matsuwaki. And Mitchell went into the program, and here's what he said. Here's what he told God when he started to go into the test. The tests were, they're going to tie you up with your feet and your hands, and they're going to drop you in this thing, and you could have drowned. And he had two thoughts in his head. The first thought was, I'm just going to do a crappy job so that they will fire me, or no, they won't take me anymore. How many of you know that's a good strategy? Some of you do that with God. I'm just going to give God the worst strategy so no one will ask me. Some of you, you can sing, but you try to sing bad so that they won't ask you to sing here. You know how we do this to God? And we, instead of giving Him our best, we give Him our minimums. Mitchell made a prayer. He said, God, I'm going to give it my best. In that way, the decision becomes yours. That if I can't really fit in here, then you will get me out of the program. And if I was meant to be here, then you will help me overcome all these obstacles. And through the weeks and the days and the months, one by one, Mitchell overcome each one. And every day became a moment of worship, knowing full well that God was at the center of it. Anytime, anywhere, any place, anything. He graduated from the program. Amen. Now you can clap. Amen. Because that's what worship does. We become fulfilled when we say, God, our hearts are yours. Anytime. Anywhere. For anything. Whatever it is you want with us. Amen? Take a time out and worship Him. Would you just bow your heads as we close in the word of prayer? Father, thank You. In fact, why don't you stand up? Why don't you stand up? Let's just worship the Lord right now. You don't have to worship Him in a song. Just lift up your hands towards Him. Just acknowledge Him in your life. Father, thank You for Your great love for us. Just say it to Him right now. God, thank You. Lord, You be blessed and You be glorified in our lives. Father, let us know You, not just because of who You are and what You bring to us, but Father, because You are the one. In Him we live and move and have our being. Would You seal the spirit of worship in each of our hearts this morning? Would You be glorified, God, in the midst of Your people? And Father, as we leave this place, may the spirit of worship be upon us anytime, anywhere, for anything.
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, visit everynation.org.sg.